Hello?
Hey there, this is 1998 calling, and we'd like our spreadsheets back.
Is dated insurance compliance technology holding you back? Leave the paper chase behind. Replace PDFs, multiple browser tabs, and of course, spreadsheets with real-time, integrated, and automated compliance with AgentSync. AgentSync makes producer and adjuster license compliance a breeze, from onboarding to appointments, renewals, continuing education, and beyond. See how at agentsync.io/podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to an all-new episode of Insurance Uncovered. The podcast is produced by the National Association of Mutual Insurance Companies and is your source for insurance news and perspective from thought leaders in the property casualty insurance industry. I'm your host, Justin Hakes. Today, we're uncovering NAMIC's latest push to bring FIO's proposed climate data call in line with state regulators. Plus, Florida Insurance Commissioner Mike Jaworski discusses changes to his state's unique insurance market during his first year in the role. But first, despite concerns about legal system abuse against property casualty insurers in the United States, reinsurers have maintained adequate capacity for casualty programs. A new report from AM Best highlights the increasingly negative impact of third-party litigation funding on liability awards and settlements, worsening claim severity from both inflation and lawsuit abuse, and the deteriorating commercial auto experience. AM Best warned that reinsurers may need to be more cautious of systemic risk connected to cyber, emerging risks, and D&O, which could affect multiple insurers, leading to large losses on a reinsurer's books. NAMIC sent a letter to Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, urging the department to abandon the Federal Insurance Office's independent climate data call. NAMIC reiterated its position that FIO should drop its solo effort and defer to functional state regulators after Yellen told the House Financial Services and Senate Banking Committees earlier this month that FIO was open to working with the NAIC.
There is a collaboration. The focus is and need for data is slightly different for NAC and FIO, but I think there's a good chance that they will be able to collaborate and go out with a single collection in order to collaborate and reduce burdens on insurance companies.
The letter made clear that climate change, mitigating associated risks through hardening the built environment, and protecting policyholders are crucially important to the mutual property casualty insurance industry. The letter also encouraged Yellen to follow through with indications FIO would collaborate further with the NAIC and issue a single data call. Florida Insurance Commissioner Mike Jaworski has also joined NAMIC in pushing back against FIO's proposed data call. On today's Unscripted, NAMIC CEO Neil Aldridge sits down with Jaworski to discuss some of the major changes in his first year as commissioner and the future of the state's insurance market.
Well, the 2024 legislative sessions are in full swing around the country. Lots going on in lots of places, as usual. And today on the podcast, we thought we would invite a special guest to join us, and that's the form of the Florida Insurance Commissioner. Mike Jaworski is going to join us today. Mike has been in office as a commissioner in Florida for about a year now, so thanks for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
Well, thanks. There's obviously Florida is Florida when it comes to the insurance marketplace. It's got its uniqueness. It's always been sort of the center of various headlines, so why don't we just start there? You've been commissioner now for about a year. Talk a little bit about how this first year has gone, the Florida market. We'll cover a little bit of the waterfront here today.
Absolutely. I mean, you're absolutely right. Florida's market is unique. It's a place where we've built out about $7 trillion worth of exposure in a place that is in a zone that is susceptible to natural catastrophes.
And yeah, I haven't heard the new number state. Lately. That's good. $7 trillion. That's the number we're using now. Okay, great.
Yeah. And so we are high, we're exposed, and really since Andrew, we've collectively as a state with the industry, with private and public solutions, we've worked to build an infrastructure that they can sustain that from an insurance perspective, from all kinds of perspectives, but certainly from insurance too. And I think that continues on.
Yeah. So why don't we start going back a little bit in time here? Let's start with some of the new civil justice reforms that were enacted. in Florida. I think many people, we've done podcast top discussions on this topic before and certainly done a lot of advocacy work on the topic itself. I think most people probably know the backstory as to why we needed to have reform. So here we are, just a few months, not quite even a year yet, into the reform. So what are you seeing here?
We're seeing good news. You know, we're looking carefully. Obviously, December was the month when the new framework around attorney fees and tort reforms became effective on every, you could safely say that every policy in the state was under that framework. We're monitoring tools that we have to look at litigation data and propensity, and that's showing some interesting results. There's obviously a good amount of litigation still stemming from Ian affected counties, but we're seeing some other interesting data on a county by county basis that we look at, which is showing positive trends. But before, you know, it's going to take time for data to truly reflect the changes that have taken place. One of the more interesting things that we're seeing, though, is the non-catastrophe claim frequency among our carriers is reducing pretty dramatically in some cases, upwards of 45 to 50%. And carriers are, as they're submitting rate filings with us, they're carrying that forward in their rate filing, which obviously has enormous impacts. If you don't have a claim to begin with, you can't have litigation associated with that claim. And so the profile begins to look a lot healthier for those companies. So we're seeing some positive trends emerge. For the first time in a while, we kind of got a significant number of 0% rate increase requests from carriers. You see a couple with actual average decreases. All that's very positive news. And, you know, coupling that with the renewed energy that we've seen within the reinsurance market, you know, if you're in the reinsurance world and you really want to seem like you know what you're talking about, you're not focusing on Florida as much, you're not even focusing on California as much, you're focusing on this year the big talk has been the Midwest. So there's a lot of energy out there around it. We've also seen a renewed interest in capital coming to the state. You know, we had seven companies that left or failed in 2022. We've had zero failures in 2023 and seven new entrants to the market.
That's great. I mean, that's the whole, you know, point behind the reform. Very interesting to hear the non-CAT claim numbers. I think that, you know, I think most people, generally speaking, the few of us that actually follow this stuff, probably thought a lot about the litigation problems in the context of catastrophes. But most insurance companies would probably tell you it was everything else that was such a problem and so out of the norm of other states, right? And so that's really encouraging to hear that you're starting to see some of that data.
And that's true. And we released, you know, of course, we had released data starting in 2019 around MCAS data that showed the kind of the disproportionate impact of litigation trends in the U.S. We released data in December. The December, January, we formally released it that showed, based on the initial results of our new PCLR data call, the first year's results of that, it showed, on the point you're making about CAT versus non-CAT claims, it showed that if you took 64 of Florida's counties, the average propensity for a litigated claim was about 5.5%. If you took the tri-county area of Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, it was 27%. So over one in four claims were litigated. If you took just Miami-Dade County, it was over one in three. So one in three claims were litigated. And that's an area of the state that had not had a direct impact from a hurricane or major catastrophe in over a decade.
Yeah, and clearly, not only, you know, everybody knows those three counties also have a lot of people that live in them. So when you have one in three, it's a lot of numbers, not a lot of headcount there, and certainly out of the ordinary when you compare it to virtually every other jurisdiction in the country when it comes to general claims leading to litigation. So it's encouraging. We hope we can continue to make, you know, improvements there. I do give the governor and you guys and the legislative body there a lot of credit. I've been at this a long time. I know how hard those issues are, and it's really a significant piece of reform and something that we here at NAMIC really point to frequently as the kind of example of what we need to do in some other places too. So let's look at this year a little bit. The 24 legislative sessions going on now in Florida. There's always good bills and bad bills, depending on where you sit. So anything you point the listeners to on the docket for the legislative session right now?
You know, I think we've seen there were a lot of bills that were filed at the very last minute in Florida that impacted insurance in one way or another. We've obviously expressed our thoughts on a number of them. Some of the ones that were obviously very big, such as the state of Florida taking on all the wind risk in the state, or rapidly growing the cat fund, kind of lowering the how far down the tower the cat fund reaches. Those were very obviously big bills that big ideas, big bills that would have dramatic changes on where things were going. I think we've kind of seen a little less energy around those lately, but they bear watching. Then we've seen some bills that are seemingly small deals that can have long-term lasting impacts on our marketplace. We're working on addressing those now. I think, just talking around the Capitol and with others, one thing we're trying to be mindful over time and trying to convey out there is that we do have this unique market. We do have challenges in it that are unique. But when we're addressing those or working to make things better for our consumers, we need to be thinking both about the individual consumer at the micro level, but also about what that does to marketplace availability and all consumers. And so we need to make sure that we're thinking both small and big picture.
Yeah, indeed. One before we move, there's another topic here that I really want to spend some time on with you. It's an unusual topic, the FIO data collection effort and your kind of work there. But I did want to spend a moment on an area in Florida in particular, just to kind of get your perspective. We at NAMIC for decades have talked about resiliency and building standards, and Florida has a very good building code, probably one of the best in the country. For good reason, given the circumstances there, lots of risk associated with it. So what's your take on just the general view of the building, quality, the construction? I was in Florida in January for a week for three different meetings, and lots of construction going on in Florida on the coast. And so just your general take on how that's going from an enforcement perspective. I know that's not your deal necessarily, but just kind of get your overall view on those questions.
Well, I think it's the question that ties the past to the future in a way. We've got some housing inventory and some infrastructure that's a lot older, that isn't getting younger. We also see a great deal of turnover where new homes built to code, modern code, either code or code plus, for a lot of counties at this point. Mm-hmm. We see a ton of development in that area and. We see the difference pay out when it comes to resiliency within our marketplace. I'll try and do it briefly, but I often cite to my hometown of Rotunda, West Florida, which is really literally a giant circle in the ground. And that was in Charlotte County, Florida. And it was impacted by Ian with some devastating winds. And you can see over the decades, it's literally a circle in the ground. And over the decades, it's built out more and more and more as you go around the circle. My parents' community was built in the 70s, absolutely, absolutely devastated by the storm. But as you go and you go across kind of around that circle, you see newer and newer buildings. And the further along in the development cycle of Florida's building code, the more resiliency you saw. And it was just kind of impressive to watch, to the point where post-Charlie Code Plus enforcement homes that were built past 2004 clearly had nearly almost no damage, and even against 150 plus mile per hour winds. And so we the codes matter. We're serious about the codes in Florida. We're obviously serious about the enforcement. The legislature last year gave us a good bit of resources they gave us a building engineer, a structural engineer to mm-hmm. position to kind of make sure that we're on top of our game when it comes to evaluating the building code and mitigation that can surround that. They've also gave us money to redo our mandatory mitigation credit program, which we're in the process of doing. I think it's if we've built all this out, we need to make sure that we are on the forefront of resiliency and mitigation.
Yeah, it's a story that you know, maybe not the most interesting in the world, doesn't grab the biggest headlines in the world, but it works. And
it does.
It just works. And we just have, we can't take our eye off the ball. You know, we have a lot. We at NAMIC, of course, have a lot more emergent issues that come on the menu, right? That's something we have to deal with today in a place or a state.
Yeah.
But it, you know, these conversations and this work here, it just really matters. And, you know, we're going to have people that live in Florida. And so we've got to have the buildings be there, you know, after the wind stopped blowing. And, you know, that's just good to hear the seriousness that you take it with. And it just matters to everybody, not just from an insurance perspective, but just from a pure life-saving perspective as well. So,
yeah, I mean, if you look, you know, not only just on the building code itself, but helping Floridians make their homes more resilient. Florida has spent probably over $1 billion of Florida money to help consumers fortify their homes and bring them up to code and to make them more resilient. So I think the state's posture is very much so pro resiliency, and that's meting out in our policy areas.
Yeah, that's great. So let's talk about, let's go to Washington now, leave Florida for a minute. Our members are certainly aware of the ongoing efforts in the Federal Insurance Office on this data collection effort. We have a newsletter that we send out called the CEO Perspective, and I just did an update on that topic yesterday here, and we are in February talking about this again. You have weighed in on the issue with a very well done letter to the Federal Insurance Office. That's maybe the aspect that some folks in our membership don't know about, is your view of this question. So tell us about your thoughts there and what maybe you may be hearing from FIO, if anything. I guess I could probably guess what you're hearing from FIO, but just how's that issue going in your perspective?
It's continuing to move forward. It's evolving. I think there's discussions between the states and the NAIC and the NAIC and FIO, and maybe some direct conversations with FIO among some of the states. The FIO data collection kind of platform, we expressed that, I think, plainly in our letter. We had structural concerns with what data they were going to collect. We had concerns, it's really not about data. Florida is probably tortures companies more than any other state for data. We've got some stuff running in the legislature. Companies will try and kill it now, but it only enhances that effort, because we believe strongly in a lot of things, but one of them is that everyone ultimately is better off with the regulator having a true sense of what the need is and where things are. We've been collecting some of the data up to a certain level that FIO is asking for the better part of 30 years. Mm-hmm. And so we know, putting that together with what we know, kind of their key focus is understanding how climate change is assessing insurance is affecting insurance markets. Ask that question all day long, but when you're using the data to ask it, it needs to be something that's sound and reasonable and leads to an outcome that when you look back at what your effort has been, it's well-founded. And so, you know, our concerns around their plan to collect 6 years of data, and then especially this past 6 years, which has been problematic certainly for Florida, but other states as well. The global capital movements and other things have really done a lot to impact the U.S. property insurance market. And so, you know, we just feel strongly that if you're going to make conclusions, you need to make conclusions based on a really sound data collection set. And so we've expressed that. We're working closely with the NAIC to try and work on alternatives. But so much of this is about ensuring that, whether it be from the consumer to the insurer to the state regulator to the NAIC to anyone else out there that has a stake in this, is ensuring that people can tell their story around what is happening within their state. And we need to make sure that, you know, there isn't this broad, what we're concerned about is that there could be this broad overall sentiment displayed about what the challenges in the property market generally, or even in Florida from a third party, that isn't necessarily accurate and isn't truthful and could have adverse impacts on people's willingness to write in Florida, and therefore harm our economy, harm our citizens. So we're on guard to make sure that the stories are told in the right way, to the best we can.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate your efforts there, and we shared your letter with members of Congress and others around, and so we appreciate all of the help there. We've now got a bill in Congress, both in the House and the Senate, that would actually eliminate FIO subpoena authority. It's a pressure point. Sort of a signal that, you know, members of Congress are watching. It's a bill in Congress, so I wouldn't hold my breath on it passing anytime soon, but at least it's there. We can work to get more pressure put on FIO. This is a big issue for our membership. It's not something that, you know, we see. Forget about the substantive problems of the data call, right? Asking for all of your fire losses, for instance, and not discerning whether those fire losses had anything to do with the weather. Of which there are lots of fires that don't have anything to do with the weather, right? That the substantive problems aside, it's just a really bad precedent for them to get in this data collection business, and something that we see, you know, is problematic on lots of fronts. So we really appreciate your work with us there, and we'll see if we can make some progress. We're just going to keep the pressure on, and hopefully we can talk them out of it.
I think that's great, and I'm glad you guys. That NAMIC is doing that. I think the example we often use when we're talking about this is just what's happened in our commercial residential market over the past couple of years. There's been all the challenges that we're aware of with around litigation and other things, but you know, the Surfside tragedy really made a lot of, you know, the impact of that is that you had insurers with an assumption that the buildings don't just fall down in Florida. That assumption was disrupted. They responded by seeing the uncertainty in that space and what their risk profile was. They've raised rates dramatically as a result. All of that has happened in data that would be collected here, and you could just apply whatever reason for that you'd like, but the true reason is Surfside. So when we look at this data that we've collected for years, we take the time to make sure we use it as a tool to understand what's going on in a very true sense. We don't just try and take this data and apply it to a preconceived notion. We try and understand what's actually happening. And we think we're postured well to do that and want to continue doing that, being the foremost party that is providing information about what's going on in Florida's market.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's exactly, you know, the right approach. And I think it's probably I won't put words in your mouth, but I can use my own words and say, FIO has a destination in mind with the data. And they're looking to collect it for a conclusion that's already been reached, and so, you know, that's part of the problem here. And I'll add the caveat: those are Neil's language, is not yours. But it's not lost on any of us what the real intent here is.
Yeah.
So, well, we appreciate again your work there, and would encourage you also to, you know, evangelize this with your other commissioners. I know you probably have. I know others have weighed in as well. So we appreciate the work there. Let's move to the NAIC just for a minute here as we get toward the end of our conversation. Last couple of Florida insurance commissioners ended up being president of the NAIC. That may be good. It may be bad, depending on, you know, your perspective or the day. You talk a little bit about anything going on at the NAIC that you might want to mention here, and just your sort of has always been a leader there. It's an interesting group. I've been its biggest critic, probably, and it's also its biggest champion, which is a strange place to be in. Just talk a little bit about the NAIC, either what's going on there issue-wise or just Florida's role there.
Yeah, happy to. I think we're in a place where we are, you're right, we've always been strong advocates of certain areas of the NAIC's work, and we've also done our part to make sure that it's moving in the right direction and doing the right things. And I think that's that'll continue. We have the NAIC is ultimately our conveyance to all the other states. It's the easiest way to reach. And there's a lot of, whether it's technical solvency work or other things that we rely on the NAIC for. And it's an important body that we're supportive of. And so we're having a lot of conversations, to give you an update on where we are with the NAIC. We're having a lot of conversations about the FIO data call, along with all the usual work, a lot of conversation about, climate generally and some other things as everyone is navigating that interesting space and trying to make sure that the messages from individual parties are overwhelming the overall situation. So it's a complicated area to work in, and we're certainly playing our part. I think the bottom line is that Florida is just going to continue to be involved with the NAIC and work with them to make sure that we're certainly being heard among the chorus on anything we feel strongly about.
Yeah, it's an interesting organization, that's for sure. It's fairly unique, and I've often tried to find a corollary organization to explain to people what it's like, and there really isn't one that I've really been able to find. But it certainly serves a role, and part of that role is important in the sense of uniformity for insurers, but it can also be pretty Byzantine and opaque when it wants to be, and it's been a source of consternation at the same time. But it is an important organization, and so certainly we have worked with you and all the other commissioners in trying to make it better. So why don't we end here? We go back to Florida. You've got the microphone here. You're talking to the NAMIC membership. Maybe some of those companies don't do business in Florida, or some did at one point in time and don't anymore. Now's your chance to, kind of give them the Florida pitch if you want to.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's been a discussion that I've had with a number of your pretty high up with a number of you, the members of your organization. Florida is undoubtedly a unique market, but we think that at this point we've gotten things in a pretty steady state where I just ask for anybody out there considering writing or expanding in Florida to give us a good strong look, see where we're at with our average rate levels, see where we're at with the risk associated with that, compare that to where maybe you have capital deployed right now or recently deployed, and see if Florida is a better environment for underwriting for you. Consider the regulatory environment that Florida has around it itself. I feel like to some extent we've seen the challenges that some states are going through right now. We've made a lot of mistakes over the years, but we've also, infrastructure wise, done a lot of really tremendous things, whether that be the CAP fund or the way the office interacts, admitted company, admitted capital, all these things that we think make this a pretty prime environment. Some things on the reforms that no one talks about that are kind of crucial. The number one thing out there is the allowance of reinsurance and costs in rate making for a particular reason. We want companies to come here that want to be successful and be here for the long term, and we're willing to work with anyone trying to do that. And I think I would just ask for a good second look at us.
That's a good message, and you're right, that's an important wrinkle that maybe a lot of people don't realize. But well, listen, Commissioner, thanks for your time today. Appreciate all your work on some of the issues we've talked about and working together going forward. We're committed to working with you to try to make Florida the best it can be from a regulatory perspective, and also trying to serve the interests of the membership. So thanks for your time today, and we'll keep working on FIO, hopefully make some progress there.
Very good. Thank you so much. Appreciate the time.
And that's all for this week's episode of Insurance Uncovered. We'll be back on March 6th with more insurance news. Until next time, I'm Justin Hakes. Have a great day.